This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mick Delivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is the Fulham shadow, Emilio Dinello. We're here to discuss Fulham's 1-0 loss to Newcastle United at Craven Cottage on Saturday. Emilio was there, and he'll have his thoughts on that. If you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts. I also want to mention, I have a feeling, Emilio, that we're going to have some people watching that are Newcastle United supporters. Feel free to share your thoughts on this as well. We welcome everyone. Emilio had a great performance. I'll call it a performance, Emilio, when you were on the Loaded Mag NUFC show. You did a great job. And I've already had comments thanking you for being on there, Emilio. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Good to have me back. So, apologies for those on, I'm a little bit croaky. I've been a bit run down the last couple of days. So hopefully my voice isn't too bad, but yeah, it's full of a bit chesty, a bit croaky, but yeah, it was nothing to do with the cheering or the lack of cheering yesterday, put it that way. I was already quite poorly 2 or 3 days ago, but looking forward to doing the show tonight, and we'll talk about all full of Newcastle. I did the show the other night on, and I was quite confident we would win yesterday.
I
was quite bullish. I predicted 2-1 on the show on Thursday, even at a push 3-1 win to reverse a disappointing defeat against Forest. But again, we'll talk about it throughout the next hour or so. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to talk about Marco Silva, I think, throwing away the game, to be honest with you. I think the substitutions were baffling. He lost us this game, but I don't think we did enough to win the game either over the balance of 90 minutes. I just thought possession doesn't necessarily result in actually clear-cut chances. We struggled to create and carve out clear-cut chances over 90 minutes. So disappointing to lose. We will beat Newcastle United next season. Rest assured. we need to start beating these guys, because historically we've had a good record against them, but the last few seasons have been a dire record. They're becoming our bogey team. But they should be counting themselves a little bit lucky that they won the game yesterday, because they didn't play particularly well, under-resourced, a lot of injuries. Yet we still struggled to carve out clear-cut chances. And that's what's more disappointing, despite a good first half yesterday.
I totally agree with that, Emilio. And listen, let's just start the show by giving them the credit that they deserve. Listen, they did enough to win.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. They created the opportunities. They were more clinical, obviously. So they get all 3 points. I do agree with you that they were fortunate here because of Fulham's lack of really creating those clear-cut opportunities, like you mentioned. They created a few, but not enough. So in the end, like you said, I could have seen Fulham winning it the way I predicted, 3-1, the way you predicted 2-1. It could have gone that way if they were more clinical and created more clear-cut opportunities. They just simply did not. And part of that, obviously, is down to Newcastle United being resolute defensively. But a lot of that also has to do with Fulham. We'll talk about that coming up, my friend. All right. So let's get to it. Let's first topic I want to go to you about is about Marco Silva. Now, I actually think that Marco Silva was outcoached here. I think it, I want to say it does have to do with the substitutions. That's where I'm going on. And also, Eddie Howe, I think, made the right substitutions. So I think it's also a combination of saying he was outcoached. That's how I feel. Do you think Marco was outcoached? Then we can really discuss this triple substitution that I think has a lot of supporters shaking their heads a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first half, I think we just, before we do it, just talk about the, you know, the first half, that will lead me into the conversation about the substitution. First half, we were on the front foot, started particularly well, good passing, good movement. There's a lot of space. William and Robinson were getting a lot of space on the left. Tom Cranny, very calm, very composed. The starting 11 was what I predicted in the Newcastle show the other night. So I was happy with the starting 11. I think it was a good starting 11. And I thought we took the game to them. Let's be honest. We stretched Newcastle. We knew that this was a weaker Newcastle team, despite the fact they've still got good players on that pitch and good players on that bench. And let's not underestimate them. But this was a great chance to beat them on home soil. Good home record of late. And we were a lot of possession, good passing, good movement, looking dangerous, but without really creating enough clear-cut chance. I can only think of really one Muniz soft shot to Dubravka in the first half of note. There was a Jedi shot, you know, a defender's shot, if that's what you want to call it. Pereira just didn't control the ball well enough on his chest, maybe leaped a little bit too early, lost that moment. So there were moments, but not clear-cut chances. And that's all credit to Newcastle for defending in numbers, defending professionally, defending better than we've done of late, to be honest, in the last couple of games. And we just struggled to bring them down. So, yeah, it's a good performance first half. The only thing that was missing was a goal. But I don't think, other than the Muniz shot, there wasn't really any clear-cut chances for us. And that's a concern for me. Dominated the first half, didn't score. You know, I think to your question, did Eddie Howe out Fox Silva tactically first half? You know, Dubravka, dropped a couple of times on the floor, time wasting.
Yep.
Good tactical, decision from the Newcastle bench to calm the situation down. They had a bit of a team debrief on the byline.
That's right. I'm glad that you're saying it. Go ahead. You
know, we would have done the same. Let's be honest. Fulham fans weren't happy. I wasn't happy, but if the ball was in the other foot, we probably would have done something similar ourselves. So as far as I'm concerned, good tactics from Eddie Howe to just slow the tempo down a little bit, frustrate the fans, frustrate the players, frustrate Marco Silva on the touchline. I could see he was getting very animated. But again, we picked ourselves up, you know, and still kept pushing, kept trying to put some pressure on that Newcastle defence. But again, I think the final ball just wasn't good enough. And that's partly because of Newcastle's defending being very good. And we struggled playing teams where they defend in numbers and defend in an organised way, like Eddie Howe got his team set up yesterday. But we didn't have enough intelligence at times to break through that defence and create those clear-cut chances. So 0-0 at half-time, but we know what tends to happen when that. You dominate a half, don't take your chances. Your opposition team are going to get moments and spells in the game. And to be honest with you, second half was a difference. It was much more even. The first 15 minutes or so, I thought, was a very even second half. But I was crying out for some changes. Try something a little bit different. You know, whilst it was 10, 15 minutes in, I thought it was time Muniz needed to come off. He tried hard. It just wasn't his day. He wasn't getting the right level of service. Try a different. You got two strikers on the bench. When are you putting them on, Silva? When you're reacting to a goal behind, which is exactly what he did. And he should have made a change early. 0-0, you're still in the game. Change the light, change that, you know, change, take Muniz off, put probably Broger on, who I thought, if he's on the bench, you're paying that sort of money to Chelsea, use him. The guy's quick, he's got good movement, give him a chance. Try something a little bit different. The triple substitution I thought was baffling, to be honest with you. It didn't warrant three substitutions. Do it incrementally, make some subtle changes. But no, he went a big bang. And unfortunately, Marco Silva, you've cost us a game yesterday. I don't think we would have lost a game yesterday. We wouldn't have won it. I don't think we created enough chances and we didn't look intelligent enough at times. But you threw away that game yesterday by being a bit rash with those substitutions. And, you know, he's made his decisions, why he took Tom. I thought three of my most how do you say, the three of the players who were most involved in the game yesterday, I thought, you know, were taken off at the wrong time. I just would have, I would have phased the changes rather than being quite ruthless and making three a triple substitution. You do that when you're reacting, maybe, but when you're still in control, the game's even Stevens, level pegging, Newcastle coming more into the game second half. But why did you take Tom? I thought Tom, although wasn't involved in many offensive opportunities for the for Fulham, good draw for you, Chris, or lucky draw maybe in the end for you today. It's, you know, I don't know how you went from 1-0 up to 2-1 down, but full credit to Liverpool for finding a way to, and I won't name who that player who got a penalty for you. Can't stand the little fella, but anyway, that's, I'm not going to mention Harvey Elliott anymore.
Oh, you mean the player that dived in that game?
Yeah, our former player that we don't want to see him nowhere near our club anymore. But anyway, that's a different conversation, Chris, different conversation. But yeah, nice to speak to you. So, you know, going back to yesterday,
yes,
Tom coming off, I thought imbalanced the midfield. I thought he was, he still had another 10, 15 minutes in him. Keep him on the pitch. Lukic comes on, within a minute gets a yellow card. I would have switched Iwobi on the right for initially.
Okay.
And probably, I'm sorry, put Iwobi on the left and put Wilson on the right. Just change it slightly. So Wilson coming on and maybe putting Brodra on, slightly change the formation, the type of winger and forward, and try something a little bit different. But no, he went gung-ho, yep. Triple substitution, took off arguably two or three of our best players yesterday. Only one of them made an impact. The other two made no impact to the game. And I think from that point, Newcastle came more into the game, created more chances, had more space. And on that 25-minute spell, you could argue they deserve to win on 25 minutes.
Sure.
Because they created more chances. Over 90 minutes, it's, you know, I don't think we deserve to lose a game. But again, we didn't create enough chances to win the game either.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, I'm going to share my opening thoughts and I'm going to go back. And I want to really drill down on talking about the Marco Silva situation against Eddie Howe, because I've got some thoughts on that and really want to just analyze this triple substitution a little bit more, Emilio. So first of all, first half, Emilio, I think you did a good job of really talking about it. But I do want to add, I wouldn't call them quote-unquote clear-cut chances, but I will say this, Paulinho was inches away from scoring. I will also say the second shot from Willian, that goes in, and that's not far off either. These were two decent opportunities, along with the ones that you talked about. So if one of those goes in, it's a completely different match, and it actually reminded me a little bit of the Tottenham match, except I actually think Newcastle United created more opportunities in the first half than actually Tottenham did. But still, it felt to me similar to that. And you end up, you rue the day when you don't take your chances or, like you said, create more clear-cut opportunities, having a hard time breaking them down. And it comes back to bite you, and it did, Emilio. Yeah. So those are my thoughts. But I thought Fulham played very well in the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
They opened up the second half still fairly well. Like you said, I agree with you. Even second half, where everything changes is this triple substitution. So let's talk about, let's really analyze this triple substitution. So what got me was, why take Willian off? We'll start with him. When he is having this great chemistry with Jedi, and they are dominant down that left-hand side, why take him off? That's number one, because that chemistry is really good. And I think that that would have continued in the second half, truly would have continued. The bigger one for me is taking Kearney off, because Kearney was giving us control, Emilio.
Yeah.
Now, you bring Lukic on, who is a different type of player and doesn't offer you that same control. Now, you're a little bit deeper. Now, they're coming on to you more. And I think it changed everything up. I'm not against Iwobi playing in the middle and taking the place of Pereira. I have no problem with that. I guess I had a problem with taking off Willian and then taking off Kearney. I think that to me is where he lost it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, what I wanted to see was, like I said, put Brodra on, put a new strike, take Muniz off on, you know, after 55-60 minutes.
That's a good point.
Should have put, change a striker, try a slightly different formula up front. And I would have taken Iwobi. I said, take Iwobi off and put Wilson on the right. Put Wilson in his favorite position. Instead, Willian, second half, wasn't as involved. So I can see why he decided to take Willian off after, you know, when he did, because he wasn't influenced much in that second half. He was a little bit quiet as far as I'm concerned. But I still think if anything was going to happen, if anything was going to be carved out, it would have come from Willian. That was going to throw. But he was a little bit quiet second half. So The Kearney one was the one that surprised me because I actually thought Kearney still had legs on him. He was controlling the game, passing the ball comfortably, composed. And we were basically protecting our midfield. Lukic, like you said, different proposition, likes to push up a little bit more, leaving Joao a little bit more exposed in the middle of the pitch, which is why you saw Newcastle at times acres of space in that second half and, you know, stretching our defence. So, yeah. To be honest with me, for me, the Kearney should have stayed on for another 15, 20 minutes, see how he goes. You know, I know he played like more minutes on Tuesday night than expected, but he should have still been able to last 70, 75 minutes. And then, but for me, you've got two strikers on the bench. You're trying to win you're 0-0, level pegging, make that change. Muniz, it just wasn't running for Muniz. As much as he tried hard, controlled the ball at times well, won some decent free kicks, he wasn't getting enough service. And maybe we just needed a slightly different formula at the front. That's why I would have put Wilson on the right. Why he put Wilson on the left, you know, that was baffling. And that was more
That's
to accommodate.
Good point.
Right? He put there to accommodate Traore. But again, why to make three changes at once? You've got three separate substitutions you're allowed to make. Phase them through. It's not like you're 2-1-0 down, 2-0 down, chasing a game. 0-0 in the game. Make some subtle changes. Try something a little bit different. But yeah, for me, Marcus Silva, that panic to make those three substitutes, just it was baffling. And I think it cost us a game.
So I agree with you with your comment on Wilson, but here's the thing. I think Traore can be so dominant down that right-hand side, Emilio, and he just runs past people. Yeah. So that's my only argument on that. But going back to Wilson on the left, I think he's a waste on the left, Emilio.
Yeah.
That point I agree with.
And that's why I wouldn't have taken Andres. I know Steve Renner saying Andres should have gone. I would have kept him in the middle of the pitch because 0-0, he's our best set-piece specialist in the team. Wilson, look, came, you know, we took William off. You took Pereira off. Who's going to take all your corners? We had so many corners. Wilson, awful. It's crossing. His set pieces were absolutely awful. And again, another tactical mistake there from Silva. You take off basically your two best set piece specialists at the same time. And who have you got? Wilson to be your dead ball specialist. It's just bad tactics there. Bad tactics. Should be a little bit more patient with substitutions because it was level pegging and even Stevens at the point he made those changes.
Okay. So let's go to turning point of the match. For me, it is this triple substitution. But let me ask you this, Emilio. What you watched at Craven Cottage, we've given respect to Newcastle United. They came out better in the second half. Let's be honest. But Fulham, I thought, were okay to start the second half. Like you said, the first 15 minutes. This, to me, changes the match. And I want to give Eddie Howe some credit because I think bringing on Harvey Barnes for them was a huge difference as well. So when I talk about turning point, it's the triple substitution, but I would also have to add bringing on Harvey Barnes for them gave them that those dominant wingers from both sides.
Yeah, I just thought we were left exposed in the middle of the park. Joao had a good first half. Yep. Second half looked a little more tired. So again, his legs were more leggy. You've got Lukic, who typically likes to come more forward and was making some good attacking runs. But because our final ball wasn't good enough, we were losing possession. Newcastle will counter in numbers and at velocity. So we were stretching midfield. We were just leaving our midfield a little bit too exposed. And at times, it was an entertaining end-to-end game at times, but you always felt Newcastle had just enough quality where it counted to carve out those chances. And like Bruno, pretty much anonymous for most of the game, but, you know, one moment, one goal. That's when you get a good quality player. Just need that one moment. He won the game for them. So it's defensively, I think we could have defended better for that goal. But overall, that's a consequence of the substitutions. And then you make your double change. Then you bring Jimenez and Broja. Too late, Silva. You should have made those changes earlier to try something a little bit different rather than doing the predictable changes like he made.
Okay, Emilio, I'm glad that you brought Bruno up because this actually goes to turning point of the match. I know I've talked about Harvey Barnes being a game changer. Let me just ask you, the players that he changed with, I'm talking about Silva, whoever we have right now, is there someone like a Bruno that Fulham have that you can count on? Because this was brought to my attention. The difference between us and Newcastle is overall talent. On our day, we can play with anyone, but they all have to be 8 to 9 out of 10s for Fulham to beat a team like this. So, and that's probably not realistic with the talent difference. Could that be a factor in this as well? Because you have that guy in Bruno who can change a game.
Yeah.
Who with Fulham can change the game?
Yeah, now you're right. And I think, you know, Newcastle have probably got, have they got the wealthiest owners in the world, or one of, if not Man City, they're probably the top three wealthiest owners in the world. So financially, we're never going to be able to compete with the type of signings that Newcastle are going to make. You know, on the show the other night, those who watched it, they were talking about, what, £200-300 million kitty for them this summer in terms of investment.
I think they even said 500, if I remember.
Even 500, were they? Yeah. Yeah, so it's Fulham are never going to be able to compete at that level. And the fact that, you know, we're playing in the top flight, in mid-table against, you know, in arguably the best sporting league in the world, maybe behind the NFL, but arguably speaking, we should be grateful we're seeing our Fulham play week in, week out against the best teams in the world in, as far as football is concerned. Sometimes we've got to be a little bit more real. You know me, I'm realistic, you know, trying to stay positive, but you've got to be realistic. And even in the Nottingham Forest game, you know, maybe I'm in the exception here. I just thought over 90 minutes, the reaction from our fans was over. It was over. It was an overreaction there. Okay. From the fans. I know we weren't good against Forest, but for 65 minutes, we were dominant. The difference was Forest capitalised on some errors from Fulham. Nottingham Forest defended for their lives for 65 minutes. And sure, we were struggling to break them down. So a bit like similar pattern to yesterday. We were trying to create half chances, speculative shots from range, like the Paulinho and was it the Willian shot you mentioned earlier, Russ? But again, they were speculative mid-long range opportunities, not clear-cut 6 yards. You know, and same with Nottingham Forest. Good possession. We were probing. We were pushing. We were testing the Forest defence. But they defended well in numbers. And Newcastle did the same again yesterday. And we struggled to break them down, which is why we've only scored one goal in 2 games against Forest and Newcastle combined. Right. So overall, my point is Newcastle are wealthier. They've got better players than Fulham. And, you know, the fact that we're able to compete and kept the score to 1-0, it's not the end of the world. You know, we've got to win. We're going to win games. We're going to lose games. You know, we've got to keep saying it. Survival is always the name of the game. But can we push to 13th to 12th? We've got to just keep pushing every year a little bit more, a little bit more. Right. But there's going to be a natural ceiling as far as this Fulham team can go. And can Marco Silva take us further? There's a few things I'd like him to just solve. He needs to solve a few consistency dilemmas. I remember having a conversation with you when he got the job 3 years ago. We said, what are we going to see with Marcus? And we said, inconsistency. You're going to win games and you're going to lose games.
But you're right, Emilio.
We were right. We said that, but he's a good man manager. But I think there's other stuff. And me and Steve Reynolds keep having this conversation. Is there other stuff going on in the dressing room behind with Roa Morten? Something's not quite right there. I don't know what's going on in the club. Something a little bit not niggling me in the back of our minds.
It's interesting you brought that up, because our friend who's watching live, Steve Reynolds, brought that to my attention today. Is that a factor in all of this? Is his departure at the end of the season affecting the players, maybe affecting how things are being run right now? Is that a factor? And I bring to you, Emilio, because I have a lot of respect for Bo Morte. Listen, we're not there in training. We don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We don't. But it's obvious that the two of them work very well together, and I'm sure he'll find someone else that can work with him. But I just asked the question. I don't have an answer for you. I look at a situation with some other managers that lose their right-hand man and they're just not the same. I think that Marco Silva's a little bit different, but could this be, I'm just throwing it out there, could this be a Brian Clough, Peter Taylor situation? I hope not.
Nope.
But I think it's fair to bring up that question.
There's something going on behind the dressing room. We are in the back room that's going on between the two of them. And clearly, I'm not seeing, in the last few home games, I've not seen Bo Morte's presence on the touchline as much as I used to. So just little things, you know me, like, you know, I look at body language. I observe a lot when I watch the games, and I just sometimes I see Marco Silva a lot more alone on the touchline in recent weeks, rather than having someone alongside him. Do you know what I mean? So it's those little moments. So it feels like he's a little bit more isolated on his own. maybe having to make decisions independently than when he used to consult with Boa. So something's happening there, but not taken away from the fact that, look, we're safe in this league. You know, the season's fizzling out a little bit. We still can still influence who's going to win the Premier League. We've still got two big games against Liverpool and Man City to come. I'm not despondent, to be honest with you. I'm saying let's get the season over and done with, pick up maybe a couple more wins, try to finish on a high, build for next season, and then hopefully keep Marco Silva there. But I'd need to start seeing a little bit more consistency come. He can't be world beaters against Tottenham and Brighton 1 week and then defend like Cowboys against Sheffield United and Forest, but you know, back-to-back away games. And that's what's disappointing. How do we stop that? How do we stop that inconsistency? And that's a problem we need to solve. And
no, I agree with you, Emilio. To me, that's where this really comes down to, because you and I have talked about off air that Fulham are heading in the right direction because they're beating teams above them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this year now they're losing to teams and drawing against teams below them. So why is that happening? To be a team that you want them to be, that I want them to be a top 10 caliber team, they need to be doing both. So they've taken a step forward in one way, maybe taken a step back in the other. And you have to ask yourself why. Yeah. And this is something that they're going to have to figure out for next season, because now you have the confidence that you can beat teams such as Arsenal and Tottenham. Well, you still got to beat the teams like we've seen, Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest. Why are you not beating them? Even at their place, why are you not beating them? And that's a valid concern by you to bring that up. I agree with you on that. And that's something that we should be focusing on, why. And I don't have the answer why, but they need to figure that out.
And I think Fulham, what we've seen this season is in in cup games, it feels at times in one-off games against the likes of Tottenham, Arsenal, we can, over 90 minutes, we can give these bigger teams a run for their money. And we've proven that we can get results. We've shown that. But the Premier League is a ruthless league. It's 38 games. It's relentless. Sometimes I don't think we know what's clearly the case is we haven't got the depth and the youth at times in our squad to be playing 38 games in a ruthless league. In one-off games, maybe you have an international break, you come back refreshed, you play against a certain team, you win comfortably, but the next week you'll lose a game. I don't think we've got the squad, the depth, but you know, we should be grateful for the fact that we're still competitive where it counts. We're mid-table. We're probably not going to finish below where we are. We may get another position up the table, but I think 12th, 13th is probably where we'll end up finishing. And a semi-final in a cup, that's not a bad season overall. No. But the thing that we've mentioned is, over a 38-game season, like Burnley. I look at the Burnley, two games against Burnley. We were awful before Christmas.
Right.
And threw away 3 points. Again, was Marco Silva to blame for dropping those 2 points against Burnley at Turf Moor? So there's moments in the season where I look at tactical changes, strategy, lack of decision-making that's cost us points. And also some of our key players last year, Bernd Leno has made more errors than last season. And Paulinho is not as effective as he was last season. So those individual moments are resulting in we're maybe not going to any points on the board, and where we were beating the teams below us this season, we're probably a little bit closer to those teams, but also closing the gap with the top of teams. So what I'm saying is this division is probably a lot closer. So the table doesn't lie. Look how compact it is this year.
No, it's a good point there, Emilio. Listen, I want to just share this comment from Isaac and get your thoughts on why have our forwards struggled to get the ball to a teammate into the box of recent. It's all balls to the wings, side passes, backward passes, but no splitting through passes to our men in the box.
Yeah, I think the last two games in particular against Forest and Newcastle, I think that's by virtue of, I think, how the opposition have been set up. You know, where you've got teams that allow us to play against them, we tend to be more productive. Where we're having to sort of work for our opportunities, where we're not given the freedom of space. Nottingham Forest closed us down throughout the whole game.
That's right.
We kept probing when we got that consolation goal, and we kept pushing and pushing and pushing, but they didn't really give us much space at times. They defended. When Newcastle were the same, they were able to absorb the pressure, and despite the fact we had a lot of possession first half, there were not clear cut chances. That's the same thing to Isaac's comment. We were struggling with sometimes we were a little bit passive, but I like to see us holding the ball, keep moving, keep creating, keep being patient, keep working, you know, move the spring the ball left to right, trying to be patient. And sometimes we haven't got the quality to play more direct like Liverpool or Man City. That's the reason why they're top four. Right. Table. So, you know, let's not be too downbeat, to be honest with you. I think sometimes we can over-criticise our team and we have to put a perspective of who we are at the end of the day. We're not a Liverpool. We're not a Man City. We've barely spent any money in the summer. Next season is going to be important because you've got big teams coming up. You know, you've got Leeds, Leicester, maybe Ipswich or another big team coming up. So it's going to be a tough division next year. We've got to start investing in the long term, the next five-year plan. That's what we want to see in the summer. Five-year plan from the Khans to take us to the next, consolidate and push up the tail. Otherwise, we're going to be in the same predicament every year.
You know, I agree.
It's the same mid-table, survive in the first instance and try to beat big teams and try to enjoy your moment in the Premier League and maybe get a cup run like we've done this season. So I'm happy this season because we got to the semi-finals. We're safe in the league. And we're enjoying our football, albeit sometimes we get frustrated with some of the performances like we've seen in the last two or three games.
I hear you, Emilio. I just want to just mention this, that Gordon Davis would be proud of your growth because now you're being a little bit more positive. Yeah. So let's just say that if next time we have Gordon and Rob on, we definitely have to talk about how you've evolved, Emilio. You're a little bit more positive. You are grounded, but you do have a little bit more positive.
You've got to be realistic as well. You know, it's some of the comments. I said the Forest game, a lot of overreaction, and I understand why. But for, like I said, 65 minutes, I actually thought we were by far technically the better team. We just couldn't score and break them down further. Right. And that's because Forest fought for their lives. And we didn't do that in the first 25 minutes. And yesterday, Newcastle put bodies behind the ball, defended well, and tried to catch us on the break and tried to make us force ourselves into mistakes. And that's what we did. We didn't defend our lines particularly well. They arguably the VAR goal, you know, I've seen some given like that, others not given. But again, a few minutes later, they came back and scored a winner. So it's it's our fault. We threw that game away yesterday.
Oh, yes. I totally agree, Emilio. And we'll get to that because I want to talk about both of those situations when we talk about the second half and really good thoughts by you. But let's just briefly talk about this. I'm just going to share this just because you and I got this right. Okay. Let's just start here. I got the starting 11 right. You got the starting 11. So this is what we predicted. So I felt that this gave Fulham a very good chance to win. And you would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a right starting 11. We had to put Tuesday's defeat behind us. And even to be honest with you, it's the Sheffield United game was equally damning. They're worse than Forest. And how the hell do you go from 1-0 up to 3-1, nearly 4-1 down? That wasn't examined enough. Right. Everything was focusing about Forest, but the Sheffield United game was even more disappointing than the Forest game, despite the fact we nicked a draw in the end. But starting 11, no qualms, the right starting 11. I was still, and that made me confident that we'd still get a positive result yesterday.
Okay, so let's just briefly talk about the first half because we'll talk a little bit more coming up next about the second half. We've already talked a lot about the first half, how we thought Fulham played. But I do want to mention this because, like you said, with Fulham's dominance in the first half, you talked about not having these clear-cut chances. But I do have to mention this, and I'm glad that you talked about this, the gamesmanship. That's what I'm going to call it. Because I was talking to a Fulham supporter, and I said, I don't think Dubravka was hurt. I don't think Dubravka was really hurt. Now, I could be wrong on this. There were two chances there for him, opportunities. He actually went down. It would happen twice. But I found it very interesting that, obviously, this turned everything because it gave Eddie Howe a chance to get into his players, go over strategy, and they used it to their advantage, Emilio. But to Fulham's credit, I don't think much changed later on in the half, but they definitely took advantage of that chance that they had when Dubravka went down. Listen, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting that he goes down. Was he really hurt? I don't know. I shouldn't say he wasn't because I don't know. I'm not Dubravka, but it just – curious, that whole situation. You brought that up earlier.
Yeah.
But we would have expected our players, it's gamesmanship. Mm-hmm. Both teams would have done it. So I understand that. And they took advantage of it. But the thing that gets me is, like you said, how many times when I look at the first half, when you get to the half and it's nil-nil, you're saying to yourself, They didn't do enough. It's going to hurt them, and it did.
Yeah, and I think either side of Dubravka taking time out, shall we say. Newcastle fans won't mind me saying that. It's Newcastle had more moments. They had mini spells, if that's the right word. They had a little bit more possession. They looked a little bit more dangerous. And I think Isaac's point is valid because Newcastle were more direct. So when they had possession in the Fulham half, they weren't going sideways, backwards, sideways. They were quicker, more direct, and their passing was a little bit quicker. Gordon, good player, underrated as far as I'm concerned. He's an underrated player.
He's very good.
His movement off the ball, very, very good. And you know, at times, you know, Kearney, Pereira, look, they had a lot of control of the game in the first half. But at times, it's sideways, backwards, sideways, backwards. But for me, I'd rather go sideways, backwards and keep possession rather than be wasteful and give cheap possession away. And that's what I've always been critical of Fulham this season. At times, our passing's not been crisp enough and we give the ball away cheaply. By giving the ball away cheaply, all you're doing is you give a free advantage to your opposition, possession. Important to keep possession, keep the ball, be patient, try something new, do something different, be a little bit intelligent. That's all football is. You're just trying to break the opposition down and find those moments. But sometimes, at times we can be a little bit hurried with the final, with our passing. And I hate when we give away cheap passes. All you're doing, you're giving the advantage to the opposition. But Newcastle, when they had that spell in the first half, either side of Dubravka injury, so-called injury, they were a little bit more, they were quick with the ball. They were more direct. And that was the difference. If we could have been more direct and stretched their defence, who knows? You know, might have got a penalty. We had a lot of corners first. I think we had about 6 or 7 corners.
That's right. But
again, you know, you've got big men in that box. You've got Dan Byrne, who's completely matured as a defender and a stronger defender than he was in 7-8 years ago when he played for us. He's a much improved defender who's played in the Champions League, believe it or not. So it's not a disgrace to go 0-0 against Newcastle at halftime. But the thing is, we felt we were going to rue those, you know, that possession and not creating enough clear-cut chance and not. And that's what happened second half.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to that. Coming up next, Emil and I are going to talk about the second half. We'll talk about our thoughts on it. We're actually going to end with a very interesting topic of players that we think might go and players that we think might stay. That's how we're going to actually end this episode of Cottage Talk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, Amelia, let's get to the second half, all right? And we've already talked a lot about this, that for the first 15 minutes, Fulham, I thought, still looked like they were in control. They were creating things. Newcastle United were a little bit better. Let's give them credit. Mm-hmm. And like you said, 50-50 for the second half. I agree with that. But even early on, now we have to talk about, let's go a little bit further in, because we talked about the triple substitution. You talked about maybe they should have taken off our striker, because maybe that might have made a difference to really change things up. I'm not going to disagree with you on that, because I think that he did not have the best of games, and maybe you make that substitution then. Maybe you bring on Breuer. Maybe you bring on Jimenez. But he waits, I think, until too late. But let's talk about the disallowed goal from Newcastle United. Now, I've watched this several times. I've had a good look at it. And I know that there are a lot of Newcastle United supporters that are upset by this, because I've seen the comments on this. I understand it, but I looked at this many times. I think this could go either way, Emilio. Mm-hmm. The thing that gets me about this is why I think it was disallowed. If you watch back and you'll see Dan Byrne basically elbowing Bassey to the ground. He goes to the ground, and I think it affects him, his ability to defend.
Yeah.
That's why I think it was disallowed, Emilio. I actually think it's the right decision, but I understand why Newcastle United supporters are upset, because I was also asked the question, how would I feel if the roles were reversed? Mm-hmm. And I think I would feel upset if this was disallowed, but I do think I understand it.
Yeah, and I think, look, you know, I've seen it a few times after the event, and Bassi's a strong guy. So he's not going to go down lightly. So for him to have gone down, and Dan Burn's physically a bigger bloke now than he was 7-8 years ago when he was, you know, when he's playing for Fulham. There was contact. Was it? Maybe it was. I would say it's medium soft, if that's the way you want to classify okay. it. I would say it wasn't. I could see why it was given. It was in that medium to soft range. But you're right, Bassi on the, you know, being medium soft, pushed off the ball and elbowed by Dan Burn prevents his ability to defend that shot that went in the bottom corner. Either way, I would have liked. Wasn't the keeper? Should the keeper have done better there? Potentially, you know, keepers don't like to concede in their near post. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, but again, I can see why. But the Fulham players didn't dispute the goal when it went in. That's probably why Newcastle fans are maybe a little bit, you know, disappointed, because
that's a good point.
You know, Fulham were ready to go and restart the game rather than waiting or questioning. Oh, there was a foul here, and there was a foul there, so. Nobody made a lot of noise. Only a few moments later, the referee got something in his ear. Said, hold on, something's being replayed here. Then he got asked to go and watch the video replay himself. And he made a decision that actually there was a foul. Yep. And it prevented Bassi from defending the shot. So it was a medium soft foul. So like I've said earlier, I think some I've seen given and some I've seen not given in VAR. So it goes back to that consistency again. But
right.
You know, you'd like to think that was a kick up the backside from us. We rode our luck to some extent.
Right.
Regroup. Get back. We told all our fans, telling Newcastle fans, sit back down and shut up because it's no goal. What happened a few minutes later? So that's what was disappointing. Dude, Newcastle, exactly. From the start, still looked more threatening. You know, our balance on the pitch, since those substitutions were made, we got a lucky escape to some extent. Whether it was just, you know, so whether it was genuine VAR, genuine foul, not put that aside. We rode our luck. VAR went our way. Some they don't go either. But we didn't learn from that. We looked sixes and sevens. Newcastle were pushing and pushing. They smelt victory. And if you judge the game over the last 20 minutes, Newcastle deserved to win because they were more clinical, scored two goals, of which one was ruled out, and were coming at a lot of opportunities and stretching our defence. Our delivery in that last 25 minutes was very, very poor. You know, at times, Adama Traore got into good positions, but Wilson on the left, Iwobi in the middle was ineffective. Our strikers looked a little bit lost. Broja had some positive signs there, but overall, they made no telling contribution from the point they came on. Then Traore's some positive runs there. So that's where the substitutions. You know, you made them, Marcus Silva. You know, you have to explain why we lost this game. Can't keep blaming the players here. You made a change. You have to accept this defeat on behalf of the club.
Okay, very good there, Emilio. Listen, I was actually thinking about the match. Maybe you can remember. There was a situation very similar that didn't go Fulham's way, where Bobby Decker, Dover Reed was fouled similarly. And the goal counted, so it can go both ways. I can't remember what match it was, but I remember there being a situation where Bobby Decker Dover Reed is really taken down this exact same way, and the goal counts. So I guess, like you said, mattering on Mr. Ref, I guess.
I can't remember now. I can't remember. Was it the Liverpool game? I can't remember. Maybe Chris Goodwin, maybe. I don't know. I know the game.
Was it the Liverpool match?
I can't remember now.
Okay. I was trying to rack my brain which match it was. But there was a similar situation. It might have been the Liverpool match at Anfield. I was trying to think of when this was. Maybe that was it. Okay, let's move on. Now, what's disappointing, as you just mentioned, Emilio, what's upsetting is I'm thinking to myself watching this, right? Fulham are going to go on and win this because they got a second life. That's the way I looked at it. I felt the players would feel this way. But as you mentioned, the balance of the team was different. And at this point, Newcastle United were dominant. So they come right back down, Emilio, and they score. So I think it's fair to look at the balance of the team, but also you have to give credit to Newcastle United and Bruno for scoring the winning goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when it's all to play for, so this allowed goal, 0-0, 10, 15 minutes to go, end-to-end football, it takes a moment of quality to win that game. You always felt one goal was going to be enough to win it. It's who had the quality, which team were more composed, who had a little bit more intelligence. Unfortunately, whenever we had the ball, you know, attacking in the last quarter of an hour, you know, our passing wasn't good enough. Our set pieces were very poor. We kept giving the ball away cheaply. That gave the possession back to Newcastle. So you always just felt Newcastle were in control, and it was only a matter of time. I just felt there's going to be a disappointing late winner. I just felt that Fulham, you've rued your misses in the first half, or you probably didn't capitalise as you should have done, but Newcastle felt hungrier and just had that better quality when it counted. And when it's 0-0, neither team wanted to accept a 0-0 draw. Both wanted to go out and win the game. When you try to do that, you've got to outfox your opposition and you've got to have that better bit of quality. Newcastle, you made a point. Harvey Barnes coming on.
Look at who they had on.
We didn't have. Guimarães, you notice he kept pushing up a little bit more forward. He found a bit more space. Lukic getting caught out, pushing up too far in the Newcastle top third of the pitch. Paulinho tiring. That left more space. Bruno, if you examine the last 15 minutes, he kept pushing up and up and up. He was anonymous for 75 minutes. Where was he when it counted? In the penalty area. Paulinho wasn't close enough. Bang, 1-0.
Right.
That was the difference. Bit of quality where it counted. But Newcastle goal, it was coming. It was coming because they just had better quality and they smelt the victory more than we did. And Marco Silva, you made your changes a little bit too late. The warning sign was there on the VAR decision that went your way. Regroup, maybe bring Harrison Reed on. There were moments when you could have actually just tightened up a little bit because I thought we were just getting a little bit out forward in midfield, and that was a problem. You know, Newcastle just had that quality in that final third when it counted, and our offensive players didn't offer the level of quality that Newcastle had, which is why we're talking about a 1-0 defeat.
Absolutely, Emilio. Like I said, he makes the substitutions, but it's too little too late. And the second guess would probably be taken off Moniz. And I understand that. We already talked about the other second guess were taken. Tom Kearney and Willian off. I think you understand why the Willian situation, but I think you're more still puzzled by the Kearney situation.
Yeah,
I think that changed the balance, Emilio. I think when we go back and we look at how they lost, for me, it's about the balance.
Yeah, exactly. I think Willian, as I didn't, was disappointing first 15 minutes in the second half. But Tom, I thought, was in control of that midfield. He was protecting Paulinho. He probably had another 15 minutes in him. And whilst it's 0-0, this is the thing. It's 0-0 still. There's no warning signs that you're getting overrun. It was a very competitive, open 0-0 game at that point. And suddenly three players coming on. Just like you're completely reshaping your team. It will either go right or it will not go right. Unfortunately, you know, it just felt that it was a little bit rash to me. You've got five players that you can substitute in the game, and you could do it over three different opportunities. So why do three now? Do a cut, maybe one or two. But then for me, Mooney should have come off first. That was the first thing. Mooney, take him off and try something different whilst the game is even Stevens. And that's what frustrated me. You've got two players on the bench, two strikers on the bench. Yeah, you refuse to use them until you're going to go down. That's what frustrated me.
Okay, excellent stuff. Emilio, I just want to mention this. At one point, we've had 100 people watching live. So I want to thank everyone who's watching live. It's really great that you were watching with me and Emilio talking about this match. And Emilio, before we move on, let's, like I said, talk about the NL, because I want to end the show by talking about some players that we think might go and some players that we think might stay. So before we do that, just overall thoughts on this 1-0 loss, and we'll wrap it up, that part of the show. Emilio.
So in terms of just the overall reaction, yeah?
Yep, just the overall.
Look, disappointing. you know, I was confident we would win the game. You watched the show on Thursday night when I did it on the Newcastle podcast. I'll say it again, Marcus Silva, I'm blaming you for losing the game, but I don't think we did enough to win the game. That's my point. As much as we had good first half, good control, good passing, exciting football at times.
Yeah.
I just didn't think we did enough to score, you know, from a decent position. It was all speculative shot. That Mooney's chance was the one that sprang to mind. But other than that, I think we huffed and puffed second half at times, but lacked final ball quality, lacked movement, and just I think we could have gone for another two games and we wouldn't have scored yesterday. That's a thing for me. So, yeah,
I agree with that.
You lost us the game, Marco Silva, but I don't think we did enough to win the game. So I thought a draw would have been a fair result in the end based on the balance of play and the chances. We didn't. You can have 70% possession, but if you're not creating any clear-cut chances, you're not making Dubravka make any decent saves, you can't say we deserve to win. You only deserve to win if your keeper's outstanding opposition, you're wasteful in front of goal, players, the balls are cleared off the line, you miss a penalty, that's when you can say you deserve to win. But I just don't think Dubravka had to earn enough of his bucks yesterday for us to deserve to win. That's my point.
I would agree with that, Emilio. Very good analysis. All right, let's switch gears to end the show. Let's talk about players that we think will stay and ones that will go. Let's start with the ones that you think will go. Let's go the opposite, then we'll talk about the players that will stay, okay? So who will go? Now, I'll give you the number one player on my mind, and it's not Paulinho. It's Anthony Robinson. I think ultimately Anthony Robinson is going to go. I know Fulham supporters don't want to hear that. But I actually think he's going to go because I think Fulham are going to be tempted by a significant offer. The question is, Emilio, do you agree with me that you think he will go? And how much do you think we could get for him?
Yeah, good. I agree with you. Yeah, I was saying that during the game yesterday. For me, he's the most likely to go at the highest price this transfer. I think he will go. If a club tempts us with a 40 to 50 million price tag on him and an offer on the table, I think he will go. He's the one we should be most worried about letting go. I don't know. He divides opinion for some. I don't understand why he divides opinion. For me, over the whole season, you know, he's probably up there top two players for me consistently.
I would agree with that.
Over the season, played most games, if not all the games, league games. He doesn't get enough credit. And I keep saying it time and time again. If he has a good game, you don't hear about it. He makes a mistake, everyone's on top, everyone's on his back. He divides opinion. And I've said it, you know, if he was English, and this is so maybe not a bit controversial, if he was an English player, he would get more credit. So I think Fulham fans would appreciate him when he goes. I think he will go this summer. He will be our biggest loss. I think Paulinho will actually stay for some reason. I'm confident Paulinho missed the boat last year. He's not the player he was last year. He's had a great season, but not the player he was last year. He's turning, 29 in July? Okay. They're not going to be able to command that same high salary that we would have done 12 months ago. Fulham will have to sell. Let's be frank. Fulham will have to sell a player or two. I think it will probably be him, Robinson, and Pereira's probably 50-50 about going. 50-50.
Okay. See, I think the other player that is more than likely to go would be Pereira because I think he is an asset the way – regardless of what we think about him, because there is basically split opinion on his value, Emilio, because statistically it shows you a tremendous player. It does. It absolutely does. But I think that he goes missing sometimes, but I do see his value in his press. I do see his value in setting up his teammates at times, but I think he is a little inconsistent. So if Atletico Madrid, the speculation is if they're really interested, I think you would have to consider it. So yeah. I think that there's a possibility he could go.
Yeah, I think, look, I'm not a huge Andreas Pereira fan, but some of the statistics I keep seeing is he's up there in terms of assists, contributions, chances created. So he's given his teammates the chances and opportunities, and we're not necessarily being clinical enough. That statistic doesn't always get recognized. You only get recognized if you score and if you directly assist. If your players don't convert chances you've created, the person who creates the chances doesn't always get the credit. So I think he divides opinion. I don't think he's had the greatest season, but his statistics tell a different story. But we only recognize Andres Pereira if he's scoring goals. That's his downside. He's not scored enough goals. He's one day a long range shot will go in the back of the net. That's rest assured, it will happen. But if he goes, will I be disappointed? Yes and no, a bit mixed, to be honest. But I think he's more likely to go than Paulinho. I think Harry Wilson will probably go as well.
Interesting. That's an interesting one. I wasn't even thinking about this. Okay. Seasons,
not quite there. Not quite okay. there. He's not good enough to clearly he's not good enough to start. There's stronger players in the team. How old is Harry Wilson? 25, 26? Bit lightweight. We saw yesterday he was in the spotlight from set pieces. Awful. Truly awful. Yeah. So if he's not on song, making those good runs, what else does Harry Wilson offer to the team? He doesn't do enough defensively. If someone comes in, a bottom six team comes in and offers 10 to 15 million for Harry Wilson, I think Fulham will take it. Okay. Try and invest that in somebody else. They're the three players for me I think will go. I think Wilson, Robinson and Pereira. I think Paulinho, I think I'm confident Paulinho will still stay.
I agree with you on that. I think he'll be with Fulham. Let me just share this comment from Isaac. Interesting. Robinson will go. Leno would have gone, but he has conceded too many goals this season. He needs to save us from Forest and Sheffield scorelines. Castagna may attract him, but that's an interesting one. But no. I don't see them selling Castagna. No. They would, I think, consider a sale for Kenny Tete.
And Tete's contract ends in the summer. I think we've got the option.
I think we have the option. You're right.
We extend him. So, but Tete has had an injury-prone season. You know, he was awful the other night against Forest. Who would have thought we'd think that Tete would not be a starting 11 player 12 months ago? It's impossible. We would have never thought that. So, but Castagna, again, probably a top three player this season. Not steady, Eddie. Not spectacular. Yeah. But doesn't get the credit sometimes because he's just mopping up, clearing, and you know, just being very organized and disciplined. If he's not scoring goals, he's not creating assists, but he does the job defensive, which you need your right back to do. So Castagna won't go, Leno won't go. These players are going to stay, as far as I'm concerned. Tosin, Steve Reynolds is saying,
yep,
we'll go. Well, you know, he's at the end of his contract. Clearly, I'm assuming he will go because he hasn't signed, a bit like Carvalho. He doesn't want to be at the club. I'd question why he's still playing, but let's not talk about that tonight. But I think Jimenez will probably go back to South America. Maybe I think he's heavily linked to going back home to South America. So, but the three key players, as far as I'm concerned, are in contract, I think will be Wilson, 50-50 Pereira. And I think Robinson is probably the most, if we have to make a sale to make some money, it'll be Anthony Robinson rather than Paulinho.
Okay. And I agree with that, Emilio. All right. But let's, I'm seeing some very good comments. Here's an interesting one that we should talk about. Let's talk about Marco Silva, okay? Because I think we should also be talking about him. I think Silva might also go if he does not see improvements in getting decent players. This is from our friend Stefan. And I can understand that. However, I still think Marco will be the Fulham manager because the fact that he signed the contract, Emilio, tells me he had to have gotten some kind of assurances. I thought it'd be January. It probably is this summer because why on earth would he have signed it if he wasn't given some assurances of what was to come for Fulham, that they were going to be building something?
Look, and I think, look, I'm not an accountant. I'm not an FFP expert. But if I was to spend more hours and days examining the annual reports, there was probably a rationale why we haven't spent millions, right? It's easy to say we haven't given Marco Silva enough transfers and we've had to sort of get some free transfers, some loan signings, keep stuff on the cheap. There's a reason for that. Forest and Everton have breached the rules. They're being penalised for that. You know, our accounts look healthier based on what I've seen commentary. Like I said, I'm not an accountant, but people's feedback is suggesting we're in a financially better position now than we were 12 months ago.
Right.
That may suggest there might be a little bit more money in the pot to give Marco Silva some investment he needs. We've got an aging squad. So the Jimenez is, I'd like to see Willian, by the way, another year. Because I know he excites me when I see him play, but we need to get the average age down, release some of these fringe players and start building for the next 5 years. But it's easier said than done. We haven't given Marco Silva the players. We don't, you know, anyone here who's an expert with FFP and the rules around, you know, fair play, the accounts may suggest that. But for me, it's easy to criticize, but there's probably financial reasons why we haven't given Silva as much investment in players as we would have liked.
Okay.
Now there's a healthier financial accounts, it might open a little bit more freedom, but I still think we have to sell to free up some more cash. Forget 40 million for Anthony Robinson. You can get a couple, too many, two or three players, but that's what Fulham will continue to do. A bit like Brighton.
Right.
Brighton sell on the high and they still find a way of, you know, consolidating mid-table every season. So Fulham need to be like that as well. But it's easier said than done. It's like Stefan saying Silva will go if we don't see improvements. But there's probably reasons why we haven't given him the players that he wanted, because the rules suggest we've got to stay within a certain threshold, shall we say.
Sure. And Emilio, you and I could do a show on the projected thing that they're talking about, the projected basically NBA-style luxury tax that I think would be a game changer and be a benefit to Fulham big time if it goes that way. But again, I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see how this luxury tax situation, if it does come to fruition. But if you're a Fulham supporter, just so you know, the luxury tax is not a true salary cap, but it does even the playing field somewhat, because what ends up happening is if you go over the luxury tax, mattering what that amount is in the leagues that I know, the other teams benefit from that. It's basically a penalty, and the other team has to pay everyone else, and they don't want to do that. And I'm just telling you, it could be a significant amount of money for Fulham that could help benefit them moving forward. But I don't want to bore people with talking about the luxury tax. I don't want to do that. But it's something to consider if it does come to fruition. But anyways, Emilio, let's do wrap this up. It's been an hour. And unfortunately, while we're doing this show, Chelsea just took the lead. They're winning 2-1 over Sheffield United, which is disappointing.
That's disappointing.
But there's still plenty of time left. Anyways, final thoughts before we go.
Look, it's the season seems to be fizzling out a bit, but look, we've got Liverpool in a couple of weeks' time. That'll be an exciting game. We've still got Man City to play. You know, there's still in a few more games where I think Marco Silva needs to use the next seven games to sort of, we're not going to fall much lower in the league. I think we're 9 points clear from the team below us. So I think we're reasonably comfortable that we'll be where we are. This is Marco Silva. We'll probably start seeing a few more. You might start to experiment a little bit more. I mean, it's test a few players, fringe players. Are they good enough to stay, not stay? Maybe start some players that wouldn't typically start, because he needs to evaluate who's going to be in his, who does he want to sell in the summer. So disappointing game against Newcastle. But look, it's just, I think I've read also the fact that under Marco Silva, the last two seasons and this year as well, we tend to fizzle out from February, March time. And it seems to be the same thing again post-international break. So again, why is that? Is that tactics? Is that squad depth or lack of squad depth? There's various different factors, but Marco Silva needs to start addressing his consistency issue. That's going to Fulham want to push on and hit the top half of the table. You need to be winning more games than losing. At the moment, it's the other way around. And last year, same thing. Very good start, but we lost a lot of games February to the end of the season. So, look, I'm not overly disappointed, but you know, we are Fulham at the end of the day. Let's be honest. We can beat the best teams in the world, and Liverpool, Man City won't relish coming to the Craven Cottage in the next few weeks. They've got a lot to play for.
You know that, Chris, who's watching. You know that. You know it's going to be tough for you. Yeah. You know that.
It's going to be tough. You know, we've given Liverpool three tough games this season, so hopefully there'll be a fourth tough game. But, you know, we've still got some exciting time. The fact that we can still see the world's best players in a Craven Cottage in this league, we should be grateful for that. But, you know, disappointing for yesterday, but like I've said, we didn't do enough to win the game yesterday.
Of course, our friend Chris throws this out just to make sure you fizzle out in 2 weeks, please. No, Chris, no. We're not going to fizzle out. We're going to be ready for you, Chris. I'll end with that. I think, and I'm going to predict it right now, Chris, Fulham are going to beat Liverpool. And they're going to cause a whole ripple in who wins the league. I'm going to predict it now. I know you don't want to hear that. You're my friend. I'm predicting a Fulham victory. That's how I'm ending the show. So I actually feel pretty good about it. I've been saying this for weeks now. It's not just what has been happening lately. Oh, come on, Chris.
Come on.
Come on, Chris. Here's Chris's response, 3-0 to Liverpool. Okay, Chris. I don't see that, Chris. I don't see it at all, but we'll see what happens. Emilio, I do feel good about that match. But again, there's still stuff to play for. They're not going to get into Europe. Let's see what they can come up with. And I've never been one to want to really look at Brighton, but I will give Brighton the credit that they have. And I think Fulham should actually, I've changed my mind on this. They should be looking at what Brighton's been doing. And I think Marco needs to find the players that he can build around for next season. Yeah. I truly believe he's going to be the Fulham manager for next season. And I think we're going to build something. I want them to be like Brighton. I can't believe I'm saying that because I did not want to say that, but that's what I want them to be.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's about more consistency. I think that's what was frustrating about yesterday, because Newcastle have got a similar pattern as Fulham.
Yep.
Win many games and lose many games. Don't draw enough. That's why I felt Newcastle, the amount of goals they've conceded away from home. And I think from the statistic they said on the show the other night, Newcastle haven't kept an away clean sheet since September. Lo and behold, they come to Fulham, they get a clean sheet. So it's same old Fulham, unfortunately. But in the day, look, let's move on. Disappointing 7 days of football, 1 point out of nine. You know, we've got to do better. There's seven games left?
Yeah.
Six, 7 games left. We can still pick up two or three wins and end the season on a high. But it's going to be tough. We've got some tough games coming up. Let's not underestimate our opposition.
Okay, excellent. Great. Thank you so much for joining me, Emil. Let's wrap this up. So for Emilio Donnell of the Fulham Shadow, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching. Listen to Cottage Talk, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.